Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, ciao, bonjour, namaste, jumbo. Bienvenidos, welcome to Reading with Your Kids. My name is Jed Lee, and I am so excited to welcome you to our show. We're coming to you with love from the historic neighborhood of Reedville, tucked into the southwest corner of beautiful Boston, Massachusetts. Our mission here is all about connection, connecting kids with books, families with each other, and communities through the power of story. Every week, we're joined by incredible authors and creators whose work lights up kids' lives. You can support this mission by spreading the word, share the show with your friends, give us a shout out at school, and let folks know that they can hear us on the WREB AM FM 24/7 radio network, and they can find us on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Good Pods, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Audible, Player FM. Pretty much wherever you find your favorite shows, you can find Reading with Your Kids. We've got a heartwarming show ahead. First up, Cherie Smith is here to celebrate Candace, the universe, and everything. And later in the show, Paul Mayer will be here to celebrate his picture book. It's called The Big Yellow Adventure. I want to let you know that we have a brand new Reading with Your Kids certified great read. We're going on a space adventure by Marie Nichols. This is a delightful and imaginative children's book that combines thrilling space escapades with the warm bond between a boy and his grandmother. The tale tracks Bracken, a young explorer, and his bold but a little apprehensive Graham as they launch into space. They travel from the moon to Mars and even to Jupiter, with each destination offering new challenges, from grotesque monsters on the moon to hungry Martians in a treacherous asteroid field. Bracken has to find his nerve to control the ship, while Graham overcomes her fear of flight and demonstrates that there are many manifestations of courage. What sets this tale apart is its heart. It's not only a story about rockets and planets, it's a story about having fun together with loved ones, overcoming fears, and believing in yourself when the odds appear against you. Bracken and Graham's relationship is both engaging and delightful to read, bringing to mind the special adventures grandchildren and grandparents get to share. With lively storytelling and a message of courage and self-belief, We're Going on a Space Adventure is a wonderful addition to any family library. Perfect for family time, classroom reading, or sparking conversations about space and imagination. We love it. Congratulations once again to Marie Nichols. We're Going on a Space Adventure is our latest Reading with Your Kids certified great read.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
855-325-1823. 855-325-1823. That's 855-325-1823.
Are you looking for a creative way to bond with your kids? Let me tell you all about Drawing with Your Kids, the ultimate destination for artistic adventures. Join us as we dive into the wonderful world of children's books with renowned illustrators guiding you step by step. From beloved characters to whimsical scenes, unleash your imagination and create cherished memories together. Whether you're a seasoned artist or just picking up a pencil, there's something for everyone at Drawing With Your Kids. Please visit our website, readingwithyourkids.com, and click on the Drawing With Your Kids link at the top of the page and let the creativity flow. Drawing With Your Kids, where every stroke brings stories to life. Join us right now from the beautiful city of Angels, Los Angeles in California. Our guest is here today to celebrate. Her middle grade novel is called Candace, the Universe, and Everything. Please welcome to the show, Cherie L. Smith. Cherie, how are you?
I'm wonderful today. How are you, Jed?
Wonderful. Cherie and I just had a lovely 15-minute conversation just about everything, about travel and culture. And you were sharing with me you had a great experience recently traveling to the continent of Africa.
Yes, it was my first time ever, and I went to Nigeria to visit the American International School of Abuja in the capital of Nigeria, and it was beautiful. They were like, it's a school that it reminded me of California in some ways. It's a lot of breezeways and open-air hallways, and kids from all over the world, Nigeria, America, Asia, who are living with their families who work in Nigeria. And they were so welcoming and so smart. And the food was really amazing. It was a fantastic time. They've got a really rich literary scene in Abuja. And it was wonderful. I got to meet a lot of writers and booksellers, and it was just really cool.
That's really wonderful. That open air kind of school campus, growing up in Boston and raising kids in Boston, we didn't have that. And the first time I experienced it was when I first had a performing tour of Puerto Rico. And I'm like, I like this. I wish I went to a school like this.
Except for when it rains, it's wonderful.
Well, this is true. One of my first performances in Puerto Rico, it was really weird. I got there and they had this big basketball stadium, just with a roof over it. And, I'm setting up, and all of a sudden I look over and here's, a custodian, and he has this big fire hose and he is washing down all the seats in the bleachers. And I'm like, what are you doing? There's going to be kids here in 20 minutes, but it
dries.
It went away. So
yeah, you can't do that in certain climates, right?
Certainly not in Boston. No.
You'd just ice it over. That would actually be kind of funny.
So Candace, this sounds like a very interesting character.
Oh, I love her. She's great. She's just this really hopeful chipper kid who is has a lot of reasons to be sad right now. The book starts, she's sort of on the outs with her best friend and what she calls her second best friend. It's the first day of eighth grade, and it seems that they have excluded her from the end of summer festivities, and she thinks that, you know, they're done with her, and she doesn't know why, and is trying to figure it out when her whole life takes this left turn because a bird flies out of her locker and terrifies her. And when she's cleaning out the locker afterwards, because her friends, one of whom is now her frenemy, has, you know, told her the bird has pooped in her locker probably. So she's in there trying to clean it out, and she discovers not bird poop, but this purple notebook that someone has been writing in, giving advice about life, including friends, and really nailing the friendship situation she's having. But she doesn't get all the answers from it, and she realizes the book was written by a woman named Tracy, who was a girl back in 1988 and had the same locker. So somehow she has Tracy's eighth grade notebook, and she goes to find Tracy after telling her mom a little bit about it, and her mom convinces her that 1988 was not so long ago and the woman's not a ghost. She's probably still alive somewhere. She finds her, and she's a professor in Chicago. The story's set in Chicago, and she's a professor at a local college, and they meet up, and it turns out there is something up with that locker, because in 1988, on the first day of school, a bird flew in to Tracy's locker. And it flew out 40 years later out of Candace's locker. And so they know, they realize there's something up with this locker. They write a message in the notebook and put it inside. And when they open it again, there's a note inside from the woman who had the locker 40 years before Tracy in 1948 saying, come and find me.
Wow.
So it's the start of an adventure and a new set of friends.
It sounds very, very cool. Before we connected, I was reading the notes coming on, and you described Candace, the Universe, and Everything as a speculative middle grade novel. And I didn't start reading with your kids because I'm a literary genius by any means. I started the podcast because I wanted parents to do what I did, which was to read with their kids and become incredibly close with their kids. My kids are now adults. We're still incredibly close. That's what I wanted to inspire. I've learned so much about books and reading and everything. And today I looked and took the time to find out what Google says speculative middle grade novels are. Could you tell us in your words, because I don't trust AI all that much. I use it. I'm very polite
right.
with it, but I don't always trust it.
Everything with a grain of salt. That
yes.
makes a lot of sense. So speculative fiction covers science fiction, fantasy, horror, even. Mm-hmm. The foundation of it is it asks the question, what if? Mm-hmm. So science fiction, horror, fantasy, any of that can be almost exactly like our world, except there's one difference. There's that one thing you say, what if? So what if you had a fantasy novel where, you know, it is a kid-lit podcast, except that the host is psychic.
Ooh.
Right? Suddenly you've got like, that is maybe magical, maybe scientific, but you could go into a fantasy element with that. Or what if the host is a dragon? There, now you have a fantasy version, because fantasy leans more towards magic. Uh-huh. And science fiction, obviously, more towards science or something, pseudoscience, maybe mm-hmm. science that might be, we extrapolate. So that's what speculative means. And I've started using speculative instead of saying science fiction, because Candace leans into the science side more than the magic side. So it is science fiction. But there are also these portals and wormholes and things that some people think seems magical, like the wardrobe in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and going into Narnia. But speculative covers it all without, I have found, not with kids, but with adults, when you say science fiction, they think Star Wars, Star Trek. And they're like, well, where are the robots and the lasers and the spaceships? There's a very narrow view of what science fiction is mm-hmm. and or can be. And so speculative sort of makes people stop and ask rather than assume.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I came across the term speculative fiction being used years and years ago to cover the whole umbrella. And I was like, you know, that's really smart, because I've come up against that
uh-huh.
wall of doubters, because there are people who love spec fiction or they don't, you mm-hmm. know, or they think they don't because they don't understand it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the meaning.
So at the risk of assuming, because we always know what happens when you assume, can I assume that this story started with a, what if a kid in the eighth grade opened up their locker and a bird flew out?
You know, it's funny. I think it actually started out with the realization that your friends are not always your friends.
Ooh.
Just that when you hit eighth grade, ninth grade into high school, somebody had explained it once really beautifully, that your friends first start out as proximity and then preference. You're friends with people because you're in the same classroom, or you live on the same block, or you've been introduced or thrown together. And then what happens is your friendships start to shift the longer you know each other, because if you have a group of four friends, two of them might discover they have more in common with mm-hmm. each other. And then the third person feels left out, and the fourth person might not bond with the third person as well. And so it's that feeling of like, why do things change when you thought you were all best friends, or when you thought something was a certain way? So that was a big starting point. Because originally I was going to call the book These People Are Not Your Friends. Mm-hmm. But I did know that there was a portal in this locker. And I'm not really sure how that began, but I knew it was there and I wasn't sure how it was going to work. The element that was always there was a girl struggling with her friendships and finding a notebook in a locker that seemed to be offering advice. And then from there, I realized like, oh, that locker is from, wasn't something left behind by someone older. It's something that came from some other time. And yeah, went from there.
I like that. Struggling with friendship, I think that's a universal experience for kids,
yeah.
Especially in that middle school age, that sixth, seventh, and eighth grade age.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, I think when I learned that proximity versus preference was probably actually in college, because anytime you start school, your first year, freshman year, whatever it is, you are thrown together with a group of people because you all live in the same dorm or you're in the same classes, right? And you become friendly with each other. And then it's always a question of, will you be friends with them by the end of the year? Will you be friends with them by the time you graduate? Everything can change. And what's wonderful is when it doesn't change. So like somebody who helped me a bit with this book because she still lives in Chicago, it's a high school friend of mine named Alice. We met the last period of first day freshman year. And we are still friends to this day. But I'd met all these other people with who I saw more often throughout high school, but I don't know them anymore.
Right.
So, and I, and like kids don't have that perspective, you know, they think everything is now and forever. And, you know, I did too. And so, I've just wanted for kids who might be discovering that that's not always the case, that they're not alone.
Right. Yeah. That's so, so important. You were mentioning your friend Alice, I think you said.
Yes.
I just got together with a buddy. He was my first roommate. We had a job working in a detention center, and we slept at the place, and he and I shared a room, and we're still friends. And his wife called me last night, and we had a wonderful reunion. And it's those friendships that you can just pick up where you left off. If you might not see them in 10, 15, 20 years, and then you get back together and it's like, hey, yeah, we were just talking about, and it's like, no, that was 20 years ago, but yeah, we'll just get back into the conversation now.
Nothing changed. It's kind of, that is, that's a wormhole friendship, right? That's a time portal where you're always back in the same bubble with that friend. It's kind of amazing.
You know, I've never thought of it like a wormhole, but boy, that really is true. That's, thank you for that gift. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, I hadn't really put it together like that myself until just now, but it is. I know exactly what you mean. It just doesn't change with some friends. And it's interesting because they have known you in snapshots throughout your timeline, right? Like, and that's valuable too.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me what did you always aspire to be a children's author?
You know, I started wanting to write when I was about 10. I tried to write my first novel, and it was terrible, and it was plagiarism, and it was 3 pages long. Sorry, Lloyd Alexander. I realized I was stealing from him, and I gave up for a long time. And being a writer was not my, was never my goal. Like, if you asked me, you know, I wanted to be a ballerina. I wanted to be, quote, a baby doctor. I wanted to deliver babies. I wanted to be a veterinarian. And then when I finally went off to college, it was to make movies. I studied film and broadcast journalism. But all along, people would say, oh, you should be a writer. You should be a writer. And I just refused to really listen. And then, one day I was on a trip to Alaska, and this woman approached me because I was scribbling on a notepad, and she said, are you a writer? And I said, no, I'm not. And she's like, but you're writing. And I was like, that I'm also on a boat, but I'm not like a ship's captain. Like, I just don't understand that. But she could see what I couldn't see is that what I was writing were the notes for my first novel.
Ah.
And so that trip was like an epiphany journey where I suddenly realized that, like, oh, maybe this is what I'm doing. And I had tried, you know, over the years I'd written a lot of short stories and things. And I finally realized I was going to try to do it seriously. And then when I was at a library, I saw a father and daughter discussing which books she should read. And I got very excited and started pulling books from the shelf and recommending things to her. And they were like, please don't hurt us. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just enthusiastic. And then that's when I realized I wanted to write specifically for kids. Those were the books that made me who I was and helped me when I needed a bridge or a light in the dark. And so I wanted to do the same for others.
Yeah. I was checking out your website and I see that you've written a lot of books for licensed characters. Am I using the right term?
A lot of comic books. I've written comic books and graphic novels. And so some of those are licensed characters.
And what is your preference? Do you like coming up with these original concepts better than writing for an established character?
Yeah, so I've written for James Cameron's Avatar, and I've written for Bart Simpson and Lisa Simpson, Milhouse, so The Simpsons. And it's just it's a different hat that you put on. I have my own story ideas, so I do like creating my own characters and doing it, from the ground up. But when you are brought on to write someone else's character, I think of it as playing in someone else's sandbox. Uh-huh. And it can be neat because what I like to try to do is match my tone to whatever the tone is of that character. And it's a bit like dressing up, like in costumes. And it's like, oh, can I sound like everything that came before in this world that I'm writing in? What of my own ideas can I add to it? Especially when you're a fan of something, you watch a TV show or something and you're like, oh, it would have been cool as if they had done this. Uh-huh. So when you get to write licensed characters, you can at least put that out there. You go, would you think it would be cool if they did this? And they say no, or they say, oh yeah, we never thought of that. And so that can be really gratifying, but it is definitely a different mindset.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm sitting here and I'm enjoying our conversation now and before we hit record. And you're talking about Candace, the universe and everything. You're talking about writing for James Cameron's Avatar, and I get that. I can feel, I can picture that. But The Simpsons, I don't know, the Cherie L. Smith that I've just gotten to know over the past half hour, I have a hard time seeing that.
Oh, come on. So I actually got my start writing comics, writing for The Simpsons characters. I used to work at Bongo Comics, which is the company that published The Simpsons in print. And in fact, I started working there just a few weeks before I sold my first novel.
Oh.
And when it sold, I went running into the office and my boss, this wonderful guy, Terry Delagene, he was like, oh, now you're going to be a famous writer and you're going to leave us. And I was like, nope, I write for kids. I can't afford to leave this job. But he said, well, do you want to try writing for us? And I was like, absolutely. And so he gave me like a 1-page Bart Simpson story, and I did a terrible job because I used to work in animation and I had a hard time slowing down the story to snapshots, because it's sequential art, it's not motion. So how are you going to, what are the 6 telling panels that will make this story you're telling work? And so I cut my teeth there. And yeah, I used to even write The Simpsons was a Sunday strip in the London Times. And I wrote a bunch of those. And, it's humor. It's family. Mm-hmm. Lisa is a bookish nerd, much like myself. So that was easy. The hardest part for me was pranks. Like Bart does a lot of pranks and I'm not I'm not a good prankster. I wish I was. I'm terrible at it. I can't do an April Fool's joke to save my life. So that I would tap my husband and just be like, okay, if you were an obnoxious boy instead of an obnoxious grown-up, what would you do here? And I'd feel it out. So it's always good to outsource, to crowdsource ideas. But yeah, I loved writing for The Simpsons. They are, they're really interesting. Loving family with a lot of absurdity.
Yes, 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 indeed, indeed. Is there a licensed character or universe that you're a big fan of that you'd hope to be able to write in at some point?
Gosh, I don't want to say no because I don't want like an opportunity to come up and they'd be like, oh, but Cherie said in that podcast, she doesn't want to do this. I would say there are things that I'm intimidated by that would be because you don't want, sometimes you don't want to know how the sausage is made, right? You're like, I really enjoy, like, I love Star Wars. I think it would be intimidating to write something for Star Wars. I love Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man so much, but I don't know that I want to be under the hood, messing with it. I suppose if the right idea came along, I'd be like, oh, please let me do this. So I would say I'm game for almost anything, but there are certain characters. Like I wrote a Wonder Woman story, for her anniversary, her big anniversary. And it was a Wonder Woman Black and Gold. And it's just a 3 or 6 page story. But boy, like thinking about what you're going to do and how to do it, because it's Wonder Woman, you know, you don't want to get it wrong. But that's where you also have to trust your editor to help you not go off the rails.
Yeah.
So I'm game. I'm always game to try something.
I have a feeling that there's lots of what ifs running around in your mind. What can you give us a preview of what the next what if from you might be?
Oh, that's a great one. Yes. What if, and I don't know if this will be the next one. I'm hoping it is. What if you move to a new town and your mother is possessed by 100-year-old love story that didn't end well? And what if an entire town can be haunted?
Okay. Yeah. I think that could be, that's a very good what if.
Good. I'm glad I had one on deck. Otherwise, I don't know what I would have said.
Do you have opportunities to visit classrooms and talk about the art of writing with kids? And if you do, what kind of questions do you enjoy answering the most?
I do a lot of school visits. And what I like is I like to work with the kids on a story. Mm. And that can be really fun. Like I show them sort of how I outline, like there are pantsers and plotters in writing, people who fly by the seat of their pants or who outline and follow a plot. And I'm more of a plotter. But I think there's some generous pantsing goes into plotting. So I like showing them, like I will do a thing where they give me, I ask them for three things, three objects or people or whatever, three things. And then we'll craft a story around that. And it is always amazing to me because you come up with either really bubbly, crazy stories or sometimes like these sharp historical thrillers or really elegant science fiction ideas. And it's like from the hive mind of a group of students and me. And that's my favorite thing to do. Awesome. In schools. Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can plant a seed. Our studios are in the lovely neighborhood of Reedville in Boston, where it's far away from downtown as you can be and still be within the city limits. Reedville is famous. Where I live used to be an army training camp back in the 1800s. And two blocks away was their parade ground. Now it's a playground. But it was the home of the Massachusetts 54th, which was the first all-black army regiment. And I'm always thinking, what if there are some ghosties from those soldiers still haunting the neighborhood. So I'm just going to plant that there. Maybe it'll spark something.
It's funny you say that because,
well, Boston is a very haunted city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole East Coast is a very haunted place. And I was in Boston last year with another Kidlit author, Kip Wilson. She's fantastic. And she was like, let me take you to the site of my favorite disaster. And we're walking around and she's showing me things. And I immediately was like, oh, there is a ghost love story here. And she was like, yes, there is. That's what I've been thinking, too. So, like, I already have a playground that I can explore what you have just said.
Okay.
And I don't know if it will come to fruition, but I thank you for that extra seed because super valuable.
Well, if it does turn into a book, you have to promise me to come back on Reading With Your Kids to celebrate it.
I would love to.
Awesome. Let's tell everybody where they can go to find out more about Candace, the universe, and everything, and find out more about Cherie L. Smith.
Well, you can go to my website, which is my name, CherieLSmith.com, and you can find me on Instagram at RhymesWithCapri, which is how I help people pronounce my first name, because it's not Sherry, it's Cherie. So RhymesWithCapri is my Instagram handle. And we just did a great book launch here in Southern California at a store called Once Upon a Time Books in Montrose, and they've got signed copies, so you can go to their website if you have any interest.
Wonderful. We've had a really fun time speaking to the author of Candace, the Universe, and Everything. It is a new speculative middle-grade novel from our guest, Cherie L. Smith. Hey, Cherie, thanks so very much for being on Reading With Your Kids.
Thank you, Jed. This has been amazing.
Hey, my friends, I have a super idea you are going to love. How about this weekend, turn your backyard cookout into a storybook celebration? Fire up the grill, crack open a few of your favorite picture books, and serve up Big Fork Brand's legendary bacon sausage. Made with nitrate-free bacon and premium pork, it's juicy, smoky, and unforgettable. Top it off with Big Fork spicy Chicago fire sauce, and you've got a meal as bold as the characters in your favorite bedtime tale. Get 20% off your order using the promo code READ at BigForkBrands.com. That's BigForkBrands.com. Promo code READ to get 20% off, because nothing brings families together like great food, great books, and a whole lot of flavor. Big Fork Brands. Read, grill, repeat.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance.
800-932-1656. 800-932-1656. 800-932-1656. That's 800-932-1656.
Hey, my friends, you know one of my favorite parts of the day is story time. There's just something magical about snuggling up with your kids, opening a great book, and escaping into an adventure together. And let me tell you, that moment becomes even more magical when you're curled up in the softest, coziest bedding you've ever felt. That's why I'm so excited that CozyEarth.com is supporting Reading With Your Kids. Their bamboo sheets, comforters, and pajamas are unbelievably soft, naturally breathable, and temperature regulating, which means no more sweaty nights or chilly toes. Right now, Cozy Earth is offering Reading With Your Kids listeners an unbelievable and exclusive 41% off their entire site. That's right, you heard me right, 41% off. So go ahead, create your own cozy reading nook. Wrap yourself and your kids up in something comfy. Grab your favorite bedtime book and turn story time into the best part of your day. Head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the promo code READ at checkout to save 41%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code READ. Joining us right now, I am so excited. We're here to celebrate a great new picture book. It's called The Big Yellow Adventure. Please welcome to the show, Paul Mayer. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. We're excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. Paul and I just chatted for about 20 minutes. We grew up in the same part of the world, know a lot of the same people. Paul is one of the largest collectors of magic in the world. And his dad is somebody that I used to listen to on the radio. So I am so excited to find out about The Big Yellow Adventure. Tell us about the book, please, Paul.
Well, I work at a company called DATCO. DATCO has many different divisions. One of them, of course, is the school bus division. We transfer approximately 130,000 kids to and from school during the school year each day. And we also have a motor coach division, and we own Thermo King dealerships. The company is a large company, but at the same time, it's a family company, third generation, and the DeVivo family. And the DeVivos have always been really caring about the communities that they serve. So this project, when I brought it to the owners, the DeVivos, they were totally on board from the get-go. They said, this is great. This really aligns with our values and really supporting the communities that we serve. And the book is a book that really prepares and empowers first-time school bus riders for the first time that they are getting on the school bus. So in most cases, it's kindergartners. And in some cases, kids have anxiety about getting on the bus for the first time. I know that about 20 years ago, my own son did not want to get on the bus. He was crying. And I said to myself, you know, someday I'm going to write a book that addresses this. And being at DATCO really gave me the opportunity to flesh that out and get the book done. And, of course, one of the challenges is that, you know, while I'm a very creative person, I am not a child psychologist. I'm not a mental health practitioner for children. So it was very important for credibility to partner with an organization like Optimus Healthcare. They're a very large, what we call an FQHC, federally qualified health clinic in Connecticut, multiple locations, school-based health clinics. So when I approached them with the project, they were very eager to get involved and provide the support that I needed for them to review what I was writing to make sure that it was age appropriate and subject appropriate for kids.
Mm-hmm. Boy, what a tremendous responsibility transporting over 100,000 kids back and forth to school every day.
Yep, we do that in Rhode Island and in Connecticut. And there's a lot that goes into it, the training of the drivers, the safety. And the nice thing about this book is that we bring in elements of the safety for the kids. We really reinforce, you know, how to be safe on the school bus.
Yeah. You mentioned kids having anxiety of getting on the school bus. Forget kids. I can't imagine putting my kids, my kindergartner or preschooler, on a school bus. I know I would have been a puddle.
Yeah. Well, it happens every day. And, you know, in some cases, we notice that the parents are the ones that have the trouble. They get emotional, you know, seeing their kids growing up and getting on the bus for the first time. But there are kids that do have anxiety about it. In some cases, it's the first time they're leaving their mom or dad. And it's a big step, and we want to make that transition really smooth. And the book is really designed not for the kids to read it, but for the parents to read it to their kids. That's the whole thing with this book, is that it is really interactive for the parents and the children to take this book in together.
Yeah, absolutely. Picture books are written to be read to their kids by a loving parent, grandparent, caregiver, somebody that loves those kids. Walk us through the book. Are we going to meet one student in particular and follow that student through the day?
Well, the book really follows a character named Lily, and it starts out where she's really kind of nervous. It's the first day of school, and her stomach's fluttering, and her cheeks felt warm, and her hands were a little sweaty. And her mother basically was comforting and said, "Don't worry." She crouches down beside her. "It's going to be fun. It's going to be like an adventure. You're going to see new things, meet new friends, and have stories to tell when you get home." And her mom really, you know, reinforces that it's going to be fun, and puts her hand on her shoulder and says, "If you ever start feeling nervous on the bus, try looking out the window and notice all the interesting things that you can see, you know, when you pass by." So they go to the bus stop. She meets a really friendly bus driver named Mrs. Jones, and Datko actually has a Mrs. Jones. So based on a little bit of reality there, she climbs on the bus and she meets a boy named Milo, who they end up becoming friends and sit next to each other on the bus, and they point out all the neat things you can see from the window, and you know, things like kids playing in a park, a rainbow in the sky after some light rain, a cat napping on a porch. And they also learn a little bit about, you know, safety tips on the bus and so forth. And at the end of the book, there's actual safety tips, things like never play with the emergency exits, hold the handrail when going up and down the stairs, never throw things on the bus or out the windows, keep the aisles and floors clear at all times, and always listen to your bus driver. And then we also have a page that we developed with Optimus that really outlines the special skills that helped Lily feel better when she was nervous, things like grounding. When Lily felt nervous, she looked out the window and noticed all the details around her, colorful houses, trees, animals, people. Focusing on what she could see helped her calm her butterfly feelings in her stomach. Seeking support, talking to her new friend Milo on the bus, accepting help, letting her mom give her advice about looking out the window. And, you know, the real message is that it's okay to feel nervous about new things. When you use these special skills like Lily did, you might discover that your new adventure is even more wonderful than you ever imagined. So, and at the end of the book, we actually have real pictures of real kids riding the bus with a big caption, "It's fun to ride the bus," so they can relate to real people riding the bus. So, again, we want to reinforce those positive things about getting on the bus.
I'm a little surprised, Paul, just knowing you for the short amount of time, that you didn't say magical adventure instead of wonderful.
Well, the Beatles had the Magical Mystery Tour with and The Who had their bus, of course, the Magic Bus album. So I feel like that's kind of been done, so I wanted to be a little more original.
Yeah. So writing kids' books is not your day job.
It is not. I am a my title at DATCO is Vice President of Marketing and Communications. But I've always been creative, both musically and artistically, and I enjoy writing. And writing a children's book is something I always wanted to do, and DATCO gave me the perfect opportunity to do it while helping DATCO and reinforcing their mission of caring about the communities that we serve.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. My kids didn't ride the bus. We live close enough to walk or give them a quick ride ourselves. However, I think it's so very important that families sit down and talk to their kids about the proper way to ride the bus so that they're not hurt, the other kids don't get hurt, the drivers don't get distracted and whatnot.
Yeah, when we were putting the book together, you know, and talking to the behavioral health experts at Optimus, it really, from the beginning, we set out to write a book that the parents would read to their kids, not a book that the kids would read on their own. We wanted that connection between the children and the parents, that this would be a group thing that they could experience together. And I do want to mention that we've been having events in the communities that we serve. We did a couple of them just last week, and we did one this past Monday where different school systems invited us to come in. We give the kids their first ride the day before school. We give each child one of these books. We also created a coloring book version. The coloring book version is called, instead of the Big Yellow Adventure, it's called the Big Yellow Coloring Adventure. And here, I can show that to you. And that this is really the same book, but a coloring book version of it. It's not a magic coloring book. I'm sure you, being a children's magician, have plenty of magic coloring books. We could certainly make one like that, but it was important for us to be inclusive. So, you know, this book and the coloring book are both available in Spanish. Those books, all versions, are available for free for people that want to go to the website and download it. They can download the coloring book for their kids. They can download the regular book and read it on a tablet to their kids. And to go there, it's bigyellowadventure.com. Again, that's bigyellowadventure.com. You can also go to the DACO school bus site, dacoschoolbus.com, and there is a link called Children's Book that will bring you to the landing pages of the book. And that landing page will also give you the background info on why this is a good book for parents to read to their children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you were mentioning that DATCO serves kids in Rhode Island and in Connecticut. We're going to be sharing this interview also on our Reading With Your Kids podcast, which is international. Well, Connecticut Book Festivals is international too, but a family living in California, Texas, Canada, they can
download the book for free. There's also a form on the website where if they're interested in getting hard copies of the book, they can contact us and we can help them with that. We're also looking into some publishing deals along with Connecticut Book Festivals. So that's something that we're going to be exploring after the startup of the school year. The startup of the school year tends to be a real hectic time around here, and we just need to get through that, and then we can concentrate on some of the other avenues of getting this book out there.
Yeah. How important is it for your company, for your president, to educate kids about school bus safety?
Well, it's very important. I mean, it's not only important to the kids we drive, it's important to everybody at DATCO, the drivers, the monitors, the operations people that keep the fleet running, the maintenance people that maintain the buses and keep them safe and tip-top, you know, shape. So safety is always a priority, and, you know, getting that message to the parents and the children is also important.
Yeah. Do you also talk in the book about things like not to run in front of the bus? And I know the buses have those arms and all that.
No, we don't really go into that. The book, you know, the real mission of the book is, although we do go over some basic safety, the real mission of the book is for kids to feel good and not be anxious about getting on that school bus for the very first time, the very first day of school.
Yeah. Are there plans or any thoughts of writing a follow-up book? Or
there are, actually. We do have a couple ideas, so maybe I'll be back on the show again at some point soon.
That would be fantastic. Any feedback from the kids who have been at the live events about the book?
So the feedback's been incredible. We've actually heard from, you know, schools, systems that we don't do the transportation for that are interested in getting the book. The parents have been very, very appreciative of the whole promotion. Parents have come up to us saying, wow, this is really great. I wish I had this when I was younger. So it's definitely, getting out there, and the media has been very interested in it. A few of the national trades have picked it up. We've been on some morning talk shows on television stations, both in Connecticut and in Rhode Island. We were on the road show in Rhode Island last week. That went really well. And it just seems that everybody is really getting behind this and loves the whole concept.
Well, I love the idea. It sounds like something that's really going to help a lot of kids, a lot of families. And I don't know if you had a chance to think about this. As somebody who does magic, you get a response right away. You know, you do a trick and people respond to it, or they don't, as it happens sometimes. But have you taken the time to sit down and think about all the little ones who are going to be snuggled up with their parents or their grandparents on the couch reading your book?
Yeah, no, it's a great feeling for sure. Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Please remind everybody again where they can go to get their free copy of the book.
Yep, it's bigyellowadventure.com. You can download the book. You can also go to datgoschoolbus.com. That's D-A-T-T-C-O schoolbus.com. Click on children's book. And quite honestly, there's so much buzz about this book. You can just go to Google and put in Datgo children's book, and you'll find all the links and articles and all the resources pertaining to the book.
Awesome. We've had a really great and informative time speaking to the author of The Big Yellow Adventure. Our guest has been Paul Mayer. Hey, Paul, thank you, and thank to Datco for creating this book.
Yeah, and I just want to say that I don't think this would have happened at any other bus company. I think that Datco, you know, the family, the DeVivo family, just really cares about the communities they serve, and they just jumped at the chance to make a difference in the community. So I'm grateful to work for such visionary people that, you know, have such creativity.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much for being on the show, Paul.
All right. Thank you.
We're so very happy that you spent part of your day with us here at Reading With Your Kids. This episode made you smile or gave you something to think about, please pass it on. Share the link, leave a 5-star review, and hit that subscribe button so you can join us for the next episode of the show. Hey, if you haven't already, please check out readingwithyourkids.com. It is the hub for all things Reading With Your Kids, including how to become a guest, how to visit our Certified Great Read Wall of Fame, and exploring amazing new books. We'd also love for you to connect with us on social media, facebook.com/readingwithyourkids, at readingwithyourkids on Instagram, and at JedlyMagic on X. Want to give a big thank you to all the folks who made today's show so wonderful, starting with our guest, Cherie Smith. Please be sure to check out her middle grade novel, Candace, The Universe and Everything. Also want to thank Paul Mayer. Please be sure to check out his picture book, The Big Yellow Adventure. I want to thank my team, Fatima Khan, Chris Daugherty. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. Most of all, we want to thank you. Please keep reading, keep dreaming, and keep making the world a better place, one page at a time. I'll be looking for you in the next episode of Reading With Your Kids. Oh, 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 oh.
Vamos a saltar, siente el ritmo, mueve los pies. Con cada paso te sientes al 100. Da una vuelta, toca el cielo. Tú puedes hacerlo, eso es lo bello. Boom, boom, súbelo. Activa tu corazón. Salta, corre, baila con emoción. Ejercitarte es lo mejor.
fuerza al caminar. La